Saturday morning on Power Talk Radio 1460 and 101 FM, and we continue with our Experts Hour. And joining us right now is Edward King, Alliance Career Training Solutions. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Mark. Happy holiday weekend, eh?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Labor Day weekend. We are at the Monterey County Fair this weekend, and today, Saturday in particular, mm-hmm. broadcasting live throughout the day today. And Edward, we have a perfect location for a number of reasons. I mean, and I've done the fair for probably 20, 30 years. I've gone out there always been in a booth, which is great. You know, you're along the midway, you get to see everybody. But when the computer became a big part of broadcasting, it changed things a little bit, made it a lot more difficult because you're out there, even though you're under a tent, the sunlight washes out your screen. Yeah. It makes it so difficult. And so you're sitting there trying to do a live broadcast. You're there for 5 or 6 hours. The eye strain that you would get is just killer. You're exhausted. You feel like a wet dish rag at the end of your shift. So this year, first time, I made contact with a friend of mine who runs the Home Arts in the Monterey Room. And I said, is it possible that we can have a spot along the wall next to the door for our broadcast setup? Mm-hmm. And the lady said, yes, absolutely. We'd love to have you as our guest. So we're going to be indoors, which will be great. Mm-hmm. You know, if the weather's a little inclement, who knows?
Yeah.
It'll be good that way, working with my equipment. The other nice thing about it is they're going to provide me with the table and chairs. I don't have to bring a tent. I don't have to bring all that. I can bring the broadcast gear and nothing else.
Well, that's a good start.
So I like that. Yeah. And then final on this, the Home Arts Room in the corner where we're going to be is where they sell the pies and cakes for dessert and the coffee. And so that's like my favorite location right there.
Yeah, but you're only allowed one piece of pie or cake.
Yeah, one piece per shift. All right.
Oh, so shift.
Per shift. Okay. And I'm out there for one shift. All right. Anyway, dealing with difficult employees. Yeah. That we started on that topic last week. And
right.
There's a lot of them to get into. And where would you like to start?
Well, you know, last week we discussed the victim personality.
Yes.
The angry one.
Yes.
And the negative one. And those things are significant. But I've got some others that are even more difficult to tackle.
Okay.
So the first one's kind of an easy one, and I've experienced and others have too, and we're going to call this one the ghost. I mean, the person that's basically what happens is as soon as something work-wise comes up, they're gone. They disappear. Don't know why. So there's that. They're also, I'm calling in sick again, right? I'd love to help you, but I've got other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might in your personal life might need to move from one place to another, and you've got friends, I'll be happy to help. Friday before, they're like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to be, you know, scratching my itch or something like that. And they come up with excuses. Another way you can tell these people is they're going to run out for coffee or something for the staff. And about an hour later, they come back and show up. So
Right. We're
just looking at one person that seems to be just absent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So AWOL. Okay, so how do we approach these people? Well, unfortunately, these type of personalities rarely change. Now, that comes to a surprise for me, but that's what the research says. They might even duck out of things like interviews. I've actually had graduates that just been problematic where they were offered 4 different jobs and each one of them, they turned them down. And in their heart, you just have to wonder where they're at. So The first thing that you have to do with this person is sit down and have a really frank, direct, honest discussion with them and get them to understand what these issues are. But you probably won't see this get turned around.
Yeah.
So their heart's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the lights are on. What is it?
The lights are on and nobody's home.
No, exactly. Yeah. So there's that type of personality. Yeah.
Edward, before we go to the next one, one of the things about the ghost personality, when you have that sit down with the person, is you might discover in the interview process that the person could be lacking some of the competency to do the job that they've been assigned.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the reasons why they are AWOL, or they look for opportunities to do other things.
Yeah.
The person who is overly interested in volunteering to help out in other areas when they haven't completed their tasks, or maybe they're not doing as well at their job. For example, in any business where you have outside salespeople,
mm-hmm.
you have to wonder about the outside salesperson that wants to volunteer to help out with something in the building, in the office, in the middle of the day, when they should be out in the field selling, developing leads and contacts and so forth. And that's the person you have to sit down with them and say, you know, I appreciate appreciate your wanting to help out here, but we really need you to do what we hired you to do, and that's sell and bring in revenue. And if you're having some trouble with that, let's talk about
this. That's a real good point that almost falls into the procrastinator as well as putting off the duties by finding something else and easier and fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the next type, and I'm hoping that everybody understands this word, the narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a narcissist, Mark?
Well, that's a person who has a negative attitude. They go along with the negative one that we have, but they are the opposite of team players, right? They're the people who are truly only interested in themselves. And in some instances, and I'll go back to the salesperson, a business will sometimes accept a narcissist in a sales position if the person is a great producer.
Right.
And as long as you keep them away from everyone else and just keep them focused on bringing the revenue, all right, and you're okay. And a lot of times that may be the best way to deal with that person.
And that actually is one of the solutions. But going back to the narcissist, so it's obvious that their life is all about themselves and their own egos. But more dangerous about the narcissist is in a relationship. Because in essence, and in work, you have relationships between the business and the employees. But the danger about it is they don't care about anybody else. They're just the opposite of a team player. So it can be, depending on what level of narcissism this person is suffering with, it is quite amazing how that is damaging. And frankly, they don't even see the rest of the world. They don't even understand. There's no empathy. There's no comprehension of other people's feelings. So yes, you're correct that one of the solutions is if you've got an extremely talented individual, that you want to create an option where they're basically he or she is going to be working alone and has limited interaction with other team players. So let them live on an island. Let them go do what they're supposed to do. Give them their own office.
Mm-hmm.
Put them out in the field, whatever the job calls. But there you go. So if you can create their goal orientation towards succeeding at their job, then that's going to work out.
Okay.
But if they're still self-centered and it's to the point where they're not able to even focus on the goals that you've laid out for them, that's pretty much a hopeless situation.
Right.
So recognize there's cut the bait there.
And I don't know if I'll mention this one individual, and I don't know if this classifies as narcissism, but and not a super, into team playing, but very focused on individual goals.
Mm-hmm.
But we had an interview with a fellow who's a very famous real estate professional, a guy named Floyd Wickman.
Okay.
And Floyd talked about how when he was working for a very big real estate firm, very high pressure, they had very aggressive goals, and he had a way with dealing with colleagues who wanted favors from him. You know, like, Floyd, I got to pick up my car at the shop because I had an oil change done, or I need to go pick up my kid. Can you help me? Can you cover this? And he'd say, love to help, but can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his worldview, his job was to meet with clients and sell real estate, and they had very aggressive goals for him. So he couldn't participate in these non-work related things, and he more so had the attitude, if you got to get your car at the shop, get a cab and go get it.
Right.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad way to be, especially if you're in a situation where the demands of the business are that you produce.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's being honest and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And, honesty is truly very important, which is interesting because that takes us into the next category about the passive aggressive person.
Uh-huh.
I think passive aggressive is such a subtle issue. It could be relatively mild or it could be very extreme thing. So what is a passive aggressive individual? Well, first, they tend to appear like they're going to be helpful or they're going to comply or they're going to act appropriately, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, behave negatively and passively resist. So they say they're going to do it, but they don't do it. And they don't do it not because, they got in a car accident or something. They don't do it because they never intended on doing it, but they did say up front. So one of the things that I've seen over the years when you hire a passive aggressive employee is that up front, they're very, very accommodating. Up front, they're super nice. They're just kind of over the top with that a little bit. But after about 3 or 4 months, you start seeing some signs that you kind of deny at first because because you've got a base understanding of this person as being friendly, nice, supportive, and helpful. But then after those couple of months, this stuff starts showing up. Now, here's the problem with management, and I've seen with others and myself included, is that you start wondering if it's about you. You start wondering, you start looking in every other direction, but the recognition that this is a passive aggressive individual. So here's some of the common characteristics of a passive aggressive. First off, they're unreasonable to deal with. Interesting. Second is they're an uncomfortable to experience. I mean, it just kind of gives you kind of a bad rub. They rarely just express their hostility directly at you. It's kind of like the backbiter or the gossip behind your back and those kind of things. The other thing is they repeat this behavior over and over and over. Even though you sit down, you talk with them, you try to get an understanding, you try to turn them around. And those things are very, very challenging. So the first thing I wanted you to remember is this whole thing is not about you. I'm talking to the managers.
Right.
Right. This is not about you. It's about them. So here's some of the things that in a regular, like if you're an employee and you see someone with passive aggressive behavior, what do you do? Well, first off, the best thing to do is keep your distance. You want to keep your distance because you don't want to become a target of them. Now, you can do that by just minimizing the work interface, keep it strictly to work, and don't become friends. Because once you kind of enter in their circle, you become a target. So there's that. Secondly, is as a manager or their direct supervisor, is recognize that you can't change them. The only time a passive aggressive person actually changes is when they mature or when they become self-aware. Because really, frankly, it's not your job to fix people. It's not your job to change people. It's your job to lead them, manage them, direct them. But you are not able. We're not psychiatrists. We're not trained in this particular area. And so we have to understand that we really can't change them. We have to sit down. We have to clearly give them direction. We have to correct them with the truth and the honest answers when we run into a situation. I don't want you to get sucked into a situation where you're kind of playing that tit for tat.
Right.
That reactive and I'm going to get you back type of thing. You still have to proactively deal with it as soon as you find out that this is a problem. You've got to set consequences for the bad activities of this employee. And if that doesn't lower their attitude, doesn't fix their problems, really it leads you that you're going to have to let them go. Another passive aggressive activity or response is they start going into denial. So when you start confronting them with these kind of issues, they're going to put up resistance. They're not going to accept the responsibility. They're going to have excuses. They're going to be pointing fingers at other people. This stuff is never going to just easily be dealt with. These people are not easy to deal with. They are totally blind to this activity. They think it's normal. They think everybody else around them thinks the same way they do. And that's really tough to fix. So the reality is, if it's not fixable, this is another characteristic that you need to just let them move on. Most important, don't forget, you need to minimize their damage. You can try to get cooperation. You can try to gain their cooperation. But if they don't, you need to let them go. Again, like we talked last week, there are a lot of other good potential employees out there. And in today's market, there is a lot of flexibility in terms of how you can acquire good employees. You can bring them in with many different benefits or many different work environments. But the reality is you really can't keep bad employees.
So don't be intimidated by change, by having to change someone.
Right.
Just have to cut.
You just have to cut. Okay, so our very last one for today is what we call the Einstein personality. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this where you've got a know-it-all.
Yes.
The problem with them is they're really rigid in their views. I mean, they are just lockstepped in what they think and really hard to turn. Another thing is they're kind of arrogant. I don't know if anybody out there has experienced an arrogant individual. And hopefully you don't have one circling your wagon right at this moment. So how do you approach them? Well, the reality is, first step is, and this is a tough one, you have to get them to understand that they're hurting themselves. Because what they really want to accomplish with their knowledge and their know-it-all is they do want to be successful. But if you can get them to understand that their choices and their attitudes and that arrogance is actually hurtful to them, you might be able to get them to acquire a new attitude. It's really great to have somebody that's really smart on the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, like a thoroughbred racehorse, you've got to guide them. You know, you see those tiny little jockeys on the back of those monstrous horses running through the different massive races that they've got. And those little guys can guide and manage these things. And so that's what you have to do with an Einstein.
Usually in our business, the Einsteins or the smartest person on the staff is generally going to be the technical services director, the chief engineer, because of the requisite knowledge of electronic circuitry, physics that they have to have to do their job. And occasionally you'll run across someone who fits that description of the Einstein who is arrogant. I can remember years ago working with a guy who, and he was really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was one of the best engineers we had ever worked with. This was a fellow who could look at a printed circuit board inside of a piece of equipment and look at how he could make a modification that would improve it.
On the board?
Yes, on the board. Okay. Wow. And I recall one time he was making a point about a circuit that he redesigned in a transmitter, and to emphasize it, and this guy was a tall guy. He was like 6'3", so why he did this, I don't know. But he was making his point, and to embellish his point, he decided to stand on a chair and then lecture us with his finger, pointing as he was describing the redesign of the circuit and what he did. It was a point where you wanted to laugh as well.
Wow. That's an amazing experience. I've never had that happen to me. So last little point that we're going to cover is education. And the reality is, I think people need to re-educate and review on top of the things that they've learned. And that's the reason why we have our school. We've got some great management classes mm-hmm. that are ongoing. We've got obviously a whole variety of software training for both the beginners and the advanced individuals. And we encourage you to go onto our website, alliancetrains.com, take a look at the calendar of events. We've got classes every week, every month. We recycle through many of our Excel classes and others. Great project management classes, trained by amazing individuals. So come visit us or come by the school if you're looking for a career training. We have some excellent programs that are starting every month for both accounting, for IT, and general office positions.
All right, Edward, thank you so much for joining us. The telephone number once again.
831-755-8200.
AllianceTrains.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.